Today, I'll be talking with Maren Lepore, a screenwriter and activist based in Denver. She just completed a film and TV BFA at the University of Colorado, Denver. She's also the co-founder of Sad Girl Productions, an independent film company that creates diverse and inclusive female comedy films. So, Maren, can you briefly tell us your story? How did you get started in film and how did you get to where you are today?
I'm kind of just gonna go back a little bit. But so I was born in China. I was born in Jiangxi province, but then I was adopted as a baby. So I've grown up in Colorado most of my life. But then because I was adopted, my family wanted to like explore my culture and heritage and stuff. So we actually lived in Beijing for 6 years while I was growing up, from like fourth grade to 10th grade. So that's where I got to learn all about like my heritage and culture. And I also became fluent in Mandarin during that time. So I've always been super into like Asian rep and like exploring that and in like the media and stuff. But anyway, so how I got into film was I've always been interested in film. I took film classes in high school. And what I love about film, as opposed to like other types of like artistic mediums, is that I feel like film is a very powerful way to educate and inspire and like share ideas with other people. And since a lot of my work being like a woman of color is inherently political, I was like, hey, film is like a great tool that I can use to like explore these ideas and share these ideas. And so I went to film school right out of high school. I went to the Colorado Film School for a few years. And then after that, now I'm at CU Denver completing a film and TV degree. And I graduate in May, which is in like a month.
Well, from your work, you know, as a student and also with Sad Girl Productions, how have you seen there is like a lack of AAPI representation in the mainstream media? And like, how do you see that those portrayals can be harmful in stereotyping, especially of women?
So I think Asian American stereotypes in media is like such a big problem because we're so often put into these boxes where we're like foreign exchange students or like the nerdy smart kid, or we're kung fu fighters, or we're like the comic relief because the character has an accent, and just like all of these things, they like build up and it definitely harms the community because the media we consume like influences the world we live in. And if these stereotypes are so normalized for kids growing up and seeing Asian people treated like that, they internalize it and they start to believe it. And it not only affects like our own views of ourselves, like where we as Asian people have internalized that racism and we have this like growing like self-hate for just like existing and looking the way we are, but it also affects other people's views of us by putting us in this box and giving us like these expectations of how we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to act. And that leads to like all sorts of discrimination, and it leads to like subtle things like microaggressions. Like every single time I go to Boulder, people think I'm a tourist and they ask me like where I'm visiting from. Or I've met a bunch of people who they meet me for the first time and they're like, wow, your English is so good. So it's like small things like that that are like problematic. But then on a more extreme scale, it also leads to like real world violence and hate crimes, like the shooting in Atlanta, which just happened, which was specifically targeting Asian women because of the hypersexualization that comes from like white supremacist beliefs that's fueled and influenced by the media we watch. So I think, so representation is like so important in that regard because it does influence what we believe and like how we like view the world and view other people. And so kind of segueing into my work and what I do. So Sad Girl Productions is a film production company that I founded with my friend here in Denver. And our goal is basically to empower women of color and other marginalized communities by like highlighting them on screen and behind the scenes in like the most authentic way we can. So I made a web series and it's called I Put the Bi in Bitter. And even though it's not really about being Asian, it was a very conscious point on my part to cast Asian women as the leads, just to show that the community is so diverse and we can't have like an abundance of different characters that's not about their race, but just about them as like people, you know?
Yeah, if you could talk a little bit more about that project. I watched the first season on YouTube. It's great. It's so
Oh
funny.
yeah, thank you. Yeah, I Put the Bi in Bitter is a comedy web series that follows a bisexual teenager named Sam and her lesbian best friend named Alex as they kind of go through high school, deal with crushes, and it's like a fun, lighthearted comedy about being young and just like figuring out your life essentially and their sexuality. And so Rima Srihartati, who plays Sam, she is Indonesian. And then Riana DeVries, who plays Alex, is half Filipino. And it was really, really cool that I could cast two Asian leads because, you know, as like a gay Asian woman growing up, I never saw myself on screen, especially in like kid-friendly content. So I really wanted to explore like the intersectionality of sexuality and race and gender and how all these things are like connected. And then I also thought it was important to have the main characters be Asian because it's exploring like, yes, Asian characters can be happy and we can be like desirable love interests and it can be fun and it can be cute and it can be gay. It can be all these different things that's like not a stereotype.
Yeah, and how do you feel that that can be empowering for young Asian girls growing up?
Yeah, so one thing I'm really passionate about is representation when it comes to kids, and that was also one of the big inspirations for I Put the Bi in Bitter, is that I wanted to create an LGBT women of color show that was specifically for kids. Because I feel like a lot of the media we have where there are like gay characters or Asian characters, they're so often hypersexualized. And that's like not helpful or accessible to like younger kids and younger audiences who want to see themselves on screen. So I really just wanted to make it kid friendly and fun because, you know, kid, I'm such a huge fan of like kids TV and kids content because kids are our future. They're gonna grow up and like change the world. And like if I had representation growing up when I was in like middle school or high school, that would have expedited my process of like self-acceptance and stuff. So if I can do that for other kids, that's just like so empowering and inspiring to me.
So, what has been the reception for that show? I saw that there were definitely a lot of awards for it. You were featured in the Colorado Dragon Boat Festival. What professional feedback and also audience feedback did you get from it?
Yeah, one of the most rewarding things about making the series is that, so we did season one first, and that was back in 2018. That was before we even knew we were going to do a season two and three. And I didn't really have a distribution plan for it either. I was just like, I'm just going to throw it up on YouTube. We're going to see what happens. And then the response was so validating and so reassuring because people immediately connected to it because I feel like LGBT content for kids that has like people of color leads, it just like doesn't really exist. So the fact that we released something that was specifically catered for that audience was like, it was new and people were excited about it. So we got like all these messages and all these comments. A bunch of people have reached out to me personally and they're like, hey, this series means so much to me. It like helped me come out to my family. And it's like the fact that we could help that one person just like makes everything worth it and it validates everything. And so after we had such a good reception with season one, we did a festival run as well. We decided to do season two. And then after that, we actually had season three entirely funded by outside people. We did like a crowdfund to raise money for it. And yeah, that was super successful. We did end after season three just because a bunch of like cast and crew moved away. And like being an independent filmmaker, we don't really have the money to like fly people in when we have all these production issues. So we ended it at season three. But it was fun. It was really great. And I think, yeah, so that was good. What the only criticism we got throughout this whole process is that, and like one of the hardest things of being a writer that's like making something so political, even if I don't want it to be political, like it inherently is just because of the topics we're talking about. And I think one of the difficult things is because these groups have been so marginalized, like women and people of color and LGBT people, when something comes out that highlights them, it's like immediately a political statement, and people expect it to be perfect, and people expect it to like represent everything. Like I got comments saying like, oh, you know, Alex doesn't represent like all lesbians and blah 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 blah. And I'm like, well, obviously she's just like one character. I'm not trying to like represent the entire community. So I don't know. I feel like when I am making films about like being Asian or being LGBT and stuff, I feel like there's like this weight on my shoulder because like the community expects it to be perfect and represent everything, but like non-marginalized creators aren't held to the same standard. So that's frustrating, but that's like the only negative feedback we've really gotten, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, that can be challenging to find that balance. Like when there's only one representation, it can't be perfect. I mean, we just need more representation to be more diverse.
Mm-hmm.
And leading from that, are there any other challenges that you faced as a female Asian filmmaker?
Honestly, going through like high school and through film school, it's like obviously a very male dominated field, and it's a very like white dominated field. So like the stories that you're learning about and everything in classes, it's very Eurocentric, it's very Western centric. If you study Asian films, it's through the lens of like, these are foreign films, these are like foreign filmmakers and stuff like that. And it's like kind of separated into this other box. So I feel like all of the Asian films and Asian filmmakers that I've been watching and I've been inspired by, I kind of had to like go out and do that on my own because they don't really teach that in film school. They don't really teach that in like mainstream like media or anything. They don't like highlight Asian filmmakers as much as they should. So that was frustrating, just kind of having to like teach myself and learn myself for all of these topics that like should be as celebrated and well-known as like all of the white American filmmakers. I think making my production company though has like really helped me because I get to control who I work with, the stories we tell. And so one thing I'm really proud about with my series is that not only is the entire cast and the story diverse, but the crew was super diverse and inclusive as well. Like we had majority women in leading creative positions. We had a lot of women of color and LGBT women and LGBT like people just like in the cast and crew. So it really was like a series made for these communities by these communities. You know, I feel like representation starts behind the scenes, because even if you have like a really good Asian story or a women's story or a gay story, if it's filtered through the lens of people who like aren't in those communities, that authenticity, like that like shows, you can tell that it's not, you know, it, and that's what leads to those stereotypes and all of those like misconceptions about the communities, because it's like told through people who like aren't actually living those experiences. So having such a diverse crew and just like having found all these people who like really understand what I'm trying to do and support me, that's been like really great.
Okay, talking a little bit more about your inspirations, you mentioned that it's mostly Eurocentric when you're in school and the filmmakers you study. So what AAPI filmmakers inspire you?
Okay, I have a few. I'm just gonna like go through them. But I really, really love Daniel Chung. He's the creator of the Cartoon Network show, We Bare Bears. And I'm just like, I just love kids shows. That's like pretty much all I watch because I want to be like a writer for kids shows. But he's like, he directs, he writes, he animates, and We Bare Bears is like such a fun show. I love it. It's cute. I love Lulu Wong, who is the writer and director of The Farewell, which came out a few years ago. It's the one with Awkwafina in it, about her like traveling to China to like visit her grandmother and stuff. But that was like such an amazing film. She's great. I really like Destin Daniel Cretton. He's the writer and director of Short Term 12, which is like some super like unknown indie film, but the cast is amazing. It has like Brie Larson and Rami Malek and like Stephanie Beatriz and like all these like really A-list actors before they were famous. So that's like, that was cool. That's cool and cute. Alice Wu is really cool as well. She's a lesbian and she makes films about being Asian and being gay, which is like really rare in the industry. So she made this film called Saving Face a while ago, which is like a gay Asian story, and it's super, super cool and cute. And then recently she made a Netflix film called The Half of It, which is also gay and there's like an Asian lead. And I don't know, it's just cool to see that intersectionality between like sexuality and like race, like I said before. And then lastly, I really, really love Mindy Kaling. I think she's just like so funny, so great. She's She's the actress who was in The Office, but now she like writes and directs and produces her own stuff. So like her new Netflix show, Never Have I Ever, is amazing. It's like about this girl who's Indian. She's going through high school and she has like an Asian best friend. And I don't know, it's just super funny and diverse. And I wish we had more TV shows like that, like growing up.
In terms of other influences, how much of your Chinese heritage do you incorporate into your work? And is that an important part of your influences as well?
So I actually haven't made anything yet about being specifically Chinese. I put the Bi and Bitter, it was really just, well, because it was more about their sexuality than their race. So the casting was more like a subtle thing that wasn't really talked about. It was just like, oh, these characters just happen to be Asian and they happen to be women of color, but that's like not their whole identity. But I do try to pepper in my experience in subtle ways like that. So for example, when I put the Bi and Bitter, Sam, like the casting, she has a white mom because I'm adopted and I have white parents. But even though it's like, and even though it's not really explained in the show why her mom is white, or like, and I don't think it's even said that she's adopted, but I think that's the point, is that we're just normalizing these experiences and like not questioning it, and like trying to show more multicultural, multiracial families, because I feel like that's something that I don't even question, you know, obviously having grown up with like sisters who are also adopted and like parents who like don't look like us, like that's just like my life. And I wish I would have seen more of it on screen that wasn't like specifically about that, you know. I would love to in the future make a film about being Chinese and about my heritage. I'm trying to plan a feature-length documentary about like adoption in China and like that whole thing. So we'll see where that goes.
And then leading into future plans, so right now you're going to be graduating in May. What are your plans after?
Honestly, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do. I feel like it's a really weird time to graduate right now, just with like COVID and the state of the world. Like it's kind of hard to like move in the middle of a pandemic and stuff. But I really want to move to LA at some point. My dream job, like I mentioned before, would be becoming like a staff writer for like kids' TV shows. I would really love to like work in animation and just like write for like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network or like Sesame Street and stuff like that. So I've been applying to a bunch of like writers, fellowships and workshops. So we'll see where that goes. But up until then, I'll still be like doing as many personal projects as I can and also doing as much activism work as I can. And yeah, I'll just be here in Colorado chilling for a bit.
Are you planning to continue doing work with Sad Girl Productions while you're here?
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually working on a animated film right now. It's like my next project after I put the Bi and Bitter, which is like about, it's kind of based on like 12-year-old me. So it's about this little Asian girl and her best friend. And she's like having she's going through sleep paralysis nightmares because that's something I had as a kid. So it's kind of like, which was super scary, but this show is a comedy. So it's a comedy and like a love story just about this like little kid. So I'll have that out at some point.
All right. That's great. Thank you, Maren.